Today on Straight Talk Africa, we share some good news on Ebola. The World Health Organization has declared Nigeria and Senegal formally free of the virus. Elsewhere in West Africa, the crisis remains open-ended. The international community continues mobilizing resources to slow the spread of Ebola. That's coming up next, right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa. It's Wednesday, October 22nd. I am Shaka Salih.
Well, hello to all our viewers and listeners on the continent and elsewhere. I'm Mariama Diallo, your social media reporter.
Today, we are talking about the response to the Ebola epidemic, the virus that has killed over 4,500 people, with more than 9,000 infected in some parts of West Africa.
Well, Shaka, very frightening times for the three most affected nations, their neighboring countries, and around the world, including here in the United States. Coming up later in our STA inbox, we'll share your concerns on today's topic. So we hope you'll stay with us.
But first, we begin with the latest developments surrounding the ceasefire agreement between the Nigerian government and the Islamic militant group Boko Haram. Let's go to the Nigerian commercial capital, Lagos. Amarachi Ubani is the foreign editor of our partner channels TV. She joins us via Skype from Lagos. Good evening, Amarachi.
Good evening, Shaka.
Any significant developments regarding the possible release of over 200 Nigerian schoolgirls from Boko Haram?
I'm afraid that Shaka was still where we were as of Friday, which is the announcement made by the Chief of Defense Staff, Chief Marshal Alex Bade, who said that the Nigerian military has agreed with the representatives of Boko Haram to a ceasefire, which began immediately.
Amarachi, are you there? Amarachi, are you there? Well, I'm sorry that we've lost Amarachi. That, of course, was supposed to be an interview with Amarachi. For more on the possible release of over 200 kidnapped schoolgirls, stay tuned to the Voice of America. We now turn back to today's topic. As reported by the World Health Organization, at least 4,500 people have died from Ebola in four Western African countries. This makes it the worst outbreak since it was first discovered in 1976. My colleague, also from Channels TV in Thompson, has more from Washington on Ebola's impact on the African community here in the nation's capital.
Countries such as Nigeria and Senegal may be celebrating their victory over Ebola, but Ebola is still a global challenge, not just to countries who have incidences, but even their residents and indigents, for example, Africans resident in the United States. The Washington, D.C. region is home to more than 161,000 Africans, as reported by the Census Bureau in October. Of this number, 10,000 are Sierra Leoneans and 6,000 are Liberians. This makes the area a good business location for someone like Saju Kumar, who runs the African grocery and meat market. It's a store where African food items can be purchased, and even with the fear of Ebola in the United States, Kumar suffers no loss.
The spices, only the one being bought. The rest of the meats are the produce in the United States. So far, there's no problem.
But this is not the experience of some of his customers, who are mostly Sierra Leoneans.
People think that you're back home. Maybe when you go home, you have relatives that have flown in from Africa, and then that's you pretty much, you know, they stigmatize you as being like you carry the disease, even though you're living in the United States and then you go to work every day.
They also have to deal with news from home.
I think about my mom, my family, my friends back home. You know, they're calling because right now I just send money back home to them and stuff like that. And then it's killing poor people back home. And we need help from the national environmental people because our people are dying. Our people are just dying like chickens.
The United States has stepped up screening of passengers from affected West African countries as part of efforts to stop the import of Ebola cases. However, President Obama is still under pressure to place a total ban on flights from the affected countries. Ini Thompson reporting for VOA News.
Thanks, Ini, for that report. Now joining us here in our Washington studios are two distinguished guests. Jeremiah Sulente, the Liberian ambassador to the United States. Of the three nations heavily affected by the Ebola outbreak, Liberia has more than half of all the official Ebola deaths, an estimated total of over 2,400 deaths. And Dr. Malonga Miatudila, former World Bank Senior Public Health Specialist, in 1976, Dr. Matudila was part of an international team that first identified the virus that turned out to be Ebola in Yambuku, Zaire, now the Democratic Republic of Congo. Well, I have to say, gentlemen, that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host the two of you for the first time on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you, Shaka.
You're most welcome, gentlemen. Later in the program, we'll give you, the audience, a chance to call and talk with our guests. The number to call is 202-619-3111. U.S. country code is 1. Let me come to you immediately, Jeremiah. What do you think about this apparent hysteria in this country? You listened to a report by Ini.
Well, Shaka, let me say that our hearts are broken in West Africa, in Liberia in particular. Liberia being a small country that came out of war, that affected our infrastructure, the healthcare system was broken down. Educational system affected, the roads, the electricity and water, everything is broken down. And since that time, we have been trying as a government to put the broken pieces together. The last 9 years have been a tremendous effort on the part of the government to see that the economic recovery is on course. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, in the middle of nowhere, we had this attack from the Ebola. When the healthcare system was down, we were caught with our pants down, and we have been overwhelmed by that. Living in a country like the United States, a Western country, civilized country like the United States, our hope is that we will not be stigmatized. What we have been calling for is for the rest of the world to help us, to join us to isolate Ebola, to contain the virus, to be able to eradicate that. Currently is a West African situation, but it could soon be a global issue as we're getting to see some signs of that. So our appeal is how we can be able to contain that where it is. And doing that is to isolate the virus, not to isolate the Liberians or the Sierra Leoneans or the Guineans. Mm-hmm. We are very concerned about that, and we hope we're not going to get to the point where West African will be stigmatized, either at school, a little child in the daycare is turned away because the fact that he or she comes from Liberia, a nurse aide at the workplace in a nursing home is sent away only because she was coughing or sneezing. Or a young high school graduate wants to seek admission to a community college. Mm-hmm. Is not given admission simply because he or she comes from West Africa. We hope we're not going to get there.
Well, what about you, Dr. Malonga? You've been at the center of the disease, the virus. Are you surprised about the manner in which people are responding to this latest, epidemic of Ebola, as opposed to at the time when you were part of a group that identified a virus that later came to be known as Ebola, and that is really a long time ago, 1976.
But I'm not surprised to see that once again a disease is subject for stigmatization. We have heard that. We have heard that before with HIV. We remember HIV used to be the disease of the Asian, the disease of homosexuals, the disease of heroinoman, the disease of the 4-H's, before it became the disease of everybody. So this is not the first time. We have seen that before. Mm-hmm. It's an unfortunate, it's a very unfortunate tendency of the humankind to use the pretext of a disease to put a group apart. No, we are one. We are in the same boat. We are one species, the humankind. So there is no reason, there is no rational reason why we should be stigmatizing people from West Africa. It's just by accident that Ebola struck that part. The only thing that really makes me sad, having worked on Ebola in 1976, is that this is the first time we see Ebola killing thousands of people.
Yes.
Because we have had 25 outbreaks, and during all those times, Ebola was a disease, a virus that we could be contained in less than 100 days. So something really happened this time to make to turn this Ebola into a global pandemic.
So what is that something that has happened this time around that you didn't experience during the other outbreaks? I mean, fewer people during that time actually died.
Fewer people, not only in 1976, but between 1976 and 2013, we have had 25 outbreaks. And all these outbreaks were contained in less than 100 days. So this is the first time that we see Ebola doing getting this extension.
But what exactly did you do then? You did not have a vaccine at the time. You did not have a cure. What kind of treatment did you use?
Yeah.
What magic?
We just used the recipe that we are supposed to use when we are facing an outbreak, which is what? You do early diagnosis. So you recognize the problem. You don't wait more than 100 days to declare Ebola as an emergency. Because after 100 days, it's not an emergency, it's there. So all the huts in the village now started burning. You put off the fire in the village when the first hut is in flame. So early diagnosis. And then the second pillar of the recipe that has been used in the last 40 years was information and communication. So you empower communities. That approach we have not seen this time. And you take care of patients. That's number three, the third pillar. You take care of patients. You take care of patients as in a facility that is as close as possible from the homes. Pillar number four, you break the transmission by tracing contacts. And that you can only do when you are dealing with the community, when you are working within the communities. You don't want Freetown to go to Kenema to do contact tracing. You do that in Kenema. You do that in chiefdoms. So this is number three. And then number five is you expect some external assistance, because you do need external assistance. When I say external assistance, I don't mean assistance necessarily coming from London, but external through the communities. So people from Freetown should see themselves as external, supporting efforts by the communities. So these are the secrets that we have been using so far.
We'll come back to that later. Before we pause for a short break, we would like to remind you that Straight Talk Africa is on the social networking website Facebook. Just enter the keyword Straight Talk Africa, become a fan, and connect with other friends of the Voice of America. We'll be right back with you, so please, don't go away.
According to the World Health Organization, Ebola is often characterized by the sudden onset of fever, intense weakness, muscle pain, headache, and sore throat. The symptoms include vomiting, diarrhea, impaired kidney and liver function, and in some cases, both internal and external bleeding. Ebola patients are infectious as long as their blood and secretions contain the virus. The incubation period, meaning the time interval from infection to onset of symptoms, is 2 to 21 days.
President Obama recently delivered a statement to West Africans in support of the international fight against Ebola.
On behalf of the American people, I want you to know that our prayers are with those of you who have lost loved ones during this terrible outbreak of Ebola. Along with our partners around the world, the United States is working with your governments to help stop this disease. If you feel sick with a high fever, you should get help right away. Because with prompt treatment in a medical center, nearly half of patients can recover. Stopping this disease won't be easy, but we know how to do it. You are not alone. Together, we can treat those who are sick with respect and dignity. We can save lives, and our countries can work together to improve public health so this kind of outbreak doesn't happen again. In this urgent work, and in building a stronger and more prosperous Africa, you'll continue to have a partner in me and in the United States of America.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. What is your opinion about today's topic? Call us at 202-619-3111. U.S. country code 1. When you call, remember the following. Ask only one question, keep your comment brief, and turn down the volume on your radio or television. Now let's return to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Gidhuye, and of course this is Straight Talk Africa coming to you live from Washington. Let me come back to you, Mr. Ambassador. You heard, of course, your fellow panelist has touched on. What is it from your vantage point that you think that perhaps was supposed to be done at the community level in Liberia, at the government level, that was not put in place, perhaps sooner rather than later?
Well, Shaka, let me say that from the introduction, I talk about the challenges we had as a result of the Civil War. Part of the major challenge that we have been faced with since the outbreak of this Ebola is, first, some of our people were in a state of denial.
Right.
That affected the manner in which this Ebola was handled. The second thing is that our healthcare system, when you heard doctor talk about diagnosis and the treatment, our healthcare system was broken down. The infrastructure was not there. You know, one of the things, again, is that we lack ambulances. Mm. If the tracing agent were able to identify those who are sick in the community, how do you take them from the communities to the treatment center? The demand for ambulances in treating Ebola in Liberia is 88. We need 88 ambulances. Currently, we have 17. So what had happened is that the community, people who have loved ones that are affected, the alternative they have is to go into the public transport and take a taxi so that they can take the sick person to the hospital. Now, the taxi driver goes back into the transport system without disinfecting the taxi, and other people who unknowingly ride the taxi also get infected. So those are some of the challenges we have.
Talking about doctors, when I was doing my homework, I learned that in 2010, Liberia had about 51 doctors, and that most of those have, in fact, since died of Ebola or other diseases, or have actually left to go to other places.
That's
about,
right.
About how many doctors do you really have right now?
The ratio, I was just doing, the last time I checked, doing the comparative analysis in West Africa, I realized that in Nigeria, you have one doctor to about 6,400 Nigerians. In Senegal, maybe you have 741 doctors to 12.8 million people. In Liberia, you have one doctor to 35,000 Liberians. You could have at least one dentist to about 400,000 Liberians. We have one psychiatrist who died. So the healthcare system is broken down. We had a brain drain during the war. People fled, doctors and nurses fled the war and went to for greenest pasture.
Right.
And so that is the adverse effect of the Civil War we had. And so automatically, Liberia was not prepared for this outbreak.
Now, Dr. Malonga, what about the international community, at least at the level, frankly, of the World Health Organization regional headquarters for Africa in Brazzaville? What happened to those people, frankly, because the information I have found about them is that perhaps you can sum it with incompetence.
To tell you the truth, I don't have any answer for that, because even if the Liberian system was broken, even if the system was broken also in Guinea and also in Sierra Leone, but we have people who pretend to be our advisors. In each of those countries, we have a representative from WHO. We have NGOs, we have so many organizations, and to tell you the truth, I cannot find a good explanation on what happened in those three countries.
So are you surprised then when, in fact, there are some skeptics who are saying, perhaps this is something that may have been manufactured by someone?
I don't think so, because the Ebola virus is in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
The Ebola has been living there even before 76. It's only the fact that it comes into contact with, it jumps into the human population from time to time. But this is a fact, this is a fact of life that we Africans, we have to live with. So I don't think that it was fabricated. I don't think so.
What about the strain? Do you think that the strain in West Africa
is the same as the strain in Zaire? Because we have five strains.
Mm-hmm.
We have the Ugandan strain, the Zaire strain, the Sudanese strain, the Côte d'Ivoire strain, and the Reston strain. And what is hurting West Africa is the Zaire strain with very minor changes, but fundamentally it's a virus that we had in 1976. It had mutated very, very late. It's the same virus.
If you were to talk to the people that are watching you now and listening to you, what would you say, for example, that they need to do, they must do, in order to protect themselves against this scourge?
You mean those who are not affected?
Those who are not affected as yet. Because people eat, for example, bush meat. Correct?
Correct.
Should they stay away from bush meat, for example?
That's going to be a tough sell. It's going to be a tough sell. No. But, you know, to come back to the history of Ebola, really, as I was saying before, this is the first time that really Ebola is killing people by the thousand. This is the first time. In the last 40 years, Ebola has killed less than 1,500 people. If you compare that to other diseases like flu, like heart attack, really Ebola comes very, very
low. Yes.
So I don't know. Yesterday I was saying, can I say that? Am I going to be diplomatic? I think Ebola has made a big, big mistake by becoming a pandemic, because now the whole world is going to stand against him, and then we are going to see the last big surge of Ebola.
To conquer him?
Yeah.
Any particular reason why there is no vaccine up to now, really?
Yeah. Again, here I'm not going to be very diplomatic. I think the main reason was that until now, Ebola was the disease of them.
What do you mean,
those people? Those people in
who don't look like us, or
in Africa. But now, Ebola has become the disease of
us.
Everybody, of us. So again, that is a stupid move that Ebola has done. Unfortunately, the cost is going to be very, very high on our brothers in West Africa. But this is, I think, the last big epidemics on Ebola. And we are going to find vaccines, and we are going to find treatment, even antiviral treatment, within 6 or 9 months.
But how can somebody make a stupid mistake of saying this is a disease for them, when you and I know, frankly, that Ebola, like other for example, types of diseases, do not need a visa, for example, do not really have boundaries or borders? How can someone frankly look at it as a disease of them?
We human beings are not that rational, because sometimes we take, as I said before, we have had the same position for HIV. Remember, even the sexually, like syphilis, was the disease of those who make love with pigs. So this type of irrational thinking is not new. It's not new, and it's going to be with us till the end of the.
I knew that you would somehow figure out a way of bringing in the Tuskegee syphilis experiment. Correct?
I don't.
That is the experiment, of course, that was trying to figure out a way of treating syphilis, and it was done against people who were the ones that you characterized as them, but who lived, of course, in the southern part of these great United States.
I think Ebola is going to teach us a very, 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 very important lesson, that we are one. We are one species. We are not, we don't, these boundaries that we have created are just artificial boundaries. There is not West Africa. There is not Central Africa. There is not the North, there is not the South. We are just one. And with the evolution of transportation and exchange, we are moving toward a global village, and we should consider ourselves as members of a global village. So it's in the interest of the North to fight against Ebola, and I can see this is coming, because we have been hoping, we have been fighting, we have been pleading for assistance against Ebola in the last 40 years, but so far our plea has fallen in deaf ears.
Very interesting.
Now the time has come, Ebola is going to be conquered.
Very interesting, because you remind me of the 1970s, when there was a sort of apartheid in a country called Rhodesia under Rebel Prime Minister Ian Smith. now called, of course, Zimbabwe, a great American senator called George McGovern went there, and he had to fill forms, and there was a clause where you had to fill in your race, and he inserted in human race. So Ebola, in fact, from what you are saying, is going to make all of us human? Very interesting, very interesting. Welcome back. I guess that we really have to be going to my colleague and social reporter, Mariama Jaro.
Well, thanks, Shaka. Still to come, we'll reveal some of the quite touching feedback we've received from our audience through social media. But now here is our letter of the week from someone who wrote to us claiming to be in the thick of it all. Let's listen to what he has to say.
Jay Alexander in Ghana writes, I am in Liberia working on the front line with a nonprofit called Community Health Education and Social Services. The virus admittedly took the world by surprise, spreading quickly and creating a lot of challenges, especially in Liberia with its poor health infrastructure. Everyone is late in responding to the virus, including the Liberian government. Now everyone is spending a lot of time on planning and caring less about lives. It has been 7 months since Ebola broke out in Liberia, and Ebola treatment units are just now under construction. Many international staffers are reluctant to spend time on the front line, and local organizations are rarely funded.
Sia Niama Karoma, the First Lady of Sierra Leone, speaks to VOA on the Ebola crisis.
I would want the people in West Africa to know that Ebola is real. Ebola kills. Early detection and prompt treatment can save lives. And I'm asking our people not to victimize or stigmatize survivors. Ebola is a challenge, but together we'll all be able to overcome it.
That was Sia Niama Karoma, the First Lady of Sierra Leone, speaking to VOA Africa on the Ebola crisis.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. Call us now with your questions and comments. The number 202-619-3111. And the U.S. country code is 1. Call direct and we'll call you right back. Remember to keep your questions brief. Now back to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Gidui, and welcome back to Straight Talk Africa, live from Washington. Once again, it's time to bring in my colleague and social media reporter, Mariama. Take it away again, Mariama.
Well, thanks, Shaka. The World Health Organization says about 4,800 people have died from the Ebola outbreak, with the vast majority of the lives lost occurring in Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Guinea. The WHO also says that Nigeria and Senegal are now both Ebola-free after 42 days with no new cases reported. So there is hope, even if some say it's false hope, that this outbreak can be contained, which leads us to our question of the week asking, if you are a resident of West Africa, especially in the three most affected countries of Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone, how do you think that your government is handling the Ebola crisis? Well, thanks all for using our social media platforms and other means to communicate to us. Let's begin with a comment from Michael Yenego from Monrovia in Liberia, who posted this comment on our wall. He says, in Liberia, we are making progress as a people. A couple of weeks ago, our death toll was rising from Ebola, but reports now say not so much. We are working very, very hard to eradicate the Ebola virus. Well, a good and trusting attitude that's definitely needed at the moment. As for the numbers, we'll probably let our guest clarify on that, maybe His Excellency later. And before that, let's look at another comment, this time from Lady Latko in Freetown, Liberia, who writes, in Freetown, Sierra Leone, I should say, who says, Sierra Leone's President Ernest Bai Koroma has no power to stop Ebola. If he had that power, he would stop it immediately because it affects him more with elections coming up. The people that are alleged to have created this virus should take care of it. Our economy is sinking and we have nothing to eat. Well, I would think that anyone who has the power to stop Ebola certainly would. But what does that mean when she says that the people that are alleged to have created the virus should take care of it? Does he really think that someone created the disease? I think also Shaka touched on that earlier, and Mr. Malonga, so it would be good to come back to that. And we'll also hopefully touch on the devastating effect Ebola is having on the economy at the moment, and I'm sure the effects will be felt for a while. Shaka and guests, what do you make of it?
Jeremiah, what do you frankly need besides, you know, care personnel, that is doctors, of course, and nurses, logistical experts, trucks, jeeps, and food stamps?
Well, Shaka, again, as others have said, the government has stepped out to the fight against Ebola, and we have also appreciated the support from the international community. But again, we need more than have been committed. There are more. There's a need for more containment centers. There's need for more beds. Sometimes, 2 weeks ago, I was talking to a fellow from Liberia who said that patients go to near the containment center and they are there waiting for another patient to die so that a bed becomes available. That is what we're talking about. We need more beds, we need more PPEs, we need ambulances to be able to separate the sick from the those who are well. We need more training of the local health practitioners. As you know, 101 of our healthcare workers have died. We think that there's a need for a local content, meaning the international community should be able to build the capacity of our local healthcare practitioners so that tomorrow they will be there for the medium to long range sustainability of that. And again, as you rightfully said, the outbreak happened at a time that the farming system was at the highest. So because farmers were running away from the farms for their lives and some of them died during the farming season, so you're going to have a poor harvest this year. So the next challenge would be food security. So capacity building is paramount. Even as we fight and try to see the end of this Ebola, training our nurses and doctors and providing that knowledge transfer from Western countries would be very good for us.
Interesting. Mariama, please share some more of the audience's feedback.
Well, Ambassador, would love to also hear about some of the other areas that are of the economy that are affected, especially, I think, in the United States recently, some lawmakers have been calling for example, banning flights coming from the most affected countries, Liberia being one of them, but I'm sure we can get back to that in a little bit. Let's move on to a posting from Santoro Yao from Kofuridua. It's the name I like a lot and actually have a lot of friends who live there. That's in Ghana. Just want to take advantage and just send a shout out to the people who watch us there or who listen to Voice of America and Straight Talk Africa. We're going to look at one that Santoro wrote about. He says, I commend my president, John Mahama, for making serious comments about Ebola on the world stage at the United Nations and taking bold steps to fight the virus. I think the three governments most affected by the outbreak will not just sit there and watch their people die without doing anything. The Ebola sickness is a world fight. Africa, let's join hands in fighting this deadly disease. And finally, let's look at Abubakar Diallo from Freetown in Sierra Leone, who says, Sierra Leone needs all hands on deck to eradicate this deadly virus, including local and international partners. The disease is spreading faster than the measures are being put in place by our government to stop it. I am pessimistic. How do we react to that? I like the all hands on deck attitude, but also some pessimism at a time that people need to be optimistic despite the harsh realities.
Doctor, how do you react to that?
I don't think that we can be pessimistic. This is not the first challenge that we are going to face. Let's remember 1918, when mankind was struck by influenza. Influenza killed 18 million people, but life did survive. And I don't think that Ebola is going to kill us. It's going to wipe population even in West Africa. I'm optimistic. And as I said before, Ebola is going to be controlled pretty soon by the drugs that are being developed now. And then let me also remind my friends, my friend doctors in West Africa. In 1976, we tried the serum from survivors. We tried that on two patients, and both survived. One patient was in the UK. One patient was with us in Yambuku. Later on, when DRC was again struck by Ebola, we tried a serum from convalescent on 8 patients. Just 1 died, 7 survived. So there is also things that we can do. And we can also use the survivors to take care of the patients, because once you have we have survived from Ebola, you develop some immunity against the disease. So why don't we use the resources that we have? And I'm going again to insist on the role of the communities, because what I'm a little bit regretting in West Africa, the tendency to medicalize the fight. You take patients from one province and you bring them far away, and for that you need sophisticated ambulances. You don't need that, because when they get to these health centers, you can ask, what do they give them in those centers that cannot be given at the community health centers? I've been told they are perfused with the ringer. We gave them some food. There is nothing very special that people gave them in this sophisticated hospital so far. So I don't see why we should rely totally on hospitals, because these hospitals have to be built. Why don't we use the recipe that has worked in the past, meaning you treat people in the communities? That has worked. Let's do that. Let's not wait for the international community to come and build hospital. That will take time. And meanwhile, people are going to die needlessly.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thanks, Mariama, for bringing us this week's audience reaction.
Well, thank you, Shaka. And optimism, definitely a key word here from a doctor who comes from a country that has had 25 outbreaks since 1976. Let's keep that hope a little bit out there. That will do it for today's social media segment. Thanks to Ambassador Solunte and Dr. Malonga for shedding some light into some of our audience's concerns. Just a reminder that we appreciate all the feedback, whether it's in social media form or using other means to communicate to us. Please, please keep them coming. And if you are a new fan, just drop us a line at africatv@voanews.com. Once again, our email address is africatv@voanews.com. Or post your comment on our Facebook page. Just enter the keywords Straight Talk Africa. Be sure to visit us online at voaafrica.com, or you can join our YouTube channel. Just subscribe to VOA TV to Africa. Now, let's take a look at what's on tap for next week's program.
Next week on Straight Talk Africa, we'll have the latest on efforts to contain the Ebola outbreak in Liberia, Sierra Leone, and Guinea. And a ceasefire deal announced by the Nigerian government is not holding, with fresh fighting between soldiers and Boko Haram militants in Damboa. And at least 219 schoolgirls remain kidnapped. All that and more next week, right here on Straight Talk Africa.
A reminder that you are tuned into Straight Talk Africa. To participate in our discussion, please call us at 202-619-3111. US country code is 1. We'll continue our discussion in a moment.
Here are the guidelines from US's Center for Disease Control on how to avoid getting Ebola. Do not touch people showing these symptoms: continuous high fever, red eyes, vomiting, and stomach ache. Wash hands thoroughly and often, including under the fingernails. Use soap, clean water, and hand sanitizer if soap is not available. Use gloves and other protective equipment when taking care of infected patients. Avoid contact with raw meat. Cook all animal food and byproducts thoroughly. Avoid bushmeat. Do not buy or eat wild animals, including primates. Avoid areas of known outbreaks. And finally, do not touch anyone who has died from Ebola or the sheets, blankets, and clothing of infected people.
We are able to touch on things that are important to people on an everyday basis. We hope that our viewers are getting inspired when they watch our show. They're getting a view of the world from a different perspective, things that perhaps are not in their immediate vicinity. Today, I could put in on the show something that is a little different, a little unique, and this gives me that inspiration to come to work.
If you like today's show, please write and tell us what you think or give us some suggestions. Be sure to tell us what station you're tuned into. Our address, Straight Talk Africa, Voice of America, 330 Independence Avenue Southwest, Washington, D.C., 20237, USA. Or send us an email at africatv@voanews.com. Log on to our website at voaafrica.com. Or post your comments on Facebook, keywords Straight Talk Africa.
Screening measures are now in place at airports that receive nearly all passengers arriving from Liberia, Guinea, and Sierra Leone, and will continue to constantly review our measures and update them as needed to make sure we're doing everything we can to keep Americans safe. Finally, we can't just cut ourselves off from West Africa, where this disease is raging. Our medical experts tell us that the best way to stop this disease is to stop it at its source, before it spreads even wider and becomes even more difficult to contain. Trying to seal off an entire region of the world, if that were even possible, could actually make the situation worse. It would make it harder to move healthcare workers and supplies back and forth. Experience shows that it could also cause people in the affected region to change their travel, to evade screening, and make the disease even harder to track. So the United States will continue to help lead the global response in West Africa. Because if we want to protect Americans from Ebola here at home, we have to end it over there. And as our civilian and military personnel serve in the region, their safety and health will remain a top priority.
Welcome back, and that was President Barack Obama speaking about U.S. taking the lead in the fight against Ebola in West Africa and in the United States. We are talking about the response to the Ebola epidemic. Our distinguished guests are Jeremiah Sulonte, the Liberian ambassador to the United States, whose country has more than half of all the official Ebola deaths, and Dr. Malonga Miyatudla, former World Bank Senior Public Health Specialist. In 1976, Dr. Miyatudla was part of an international team that first identified the virus that turned out to be Ebola in Yambuku, Zaire, now known, of course, as the Democratic Republic of Congo. Gentlemen, I have to say again that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host the two of you for the first time on Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
You're most welcome, sirs, and come again. I gather that we have to go to the lifeline of the show, which are the telephone callers, but we do have a caller from Nigeria. Nigeria, are you there?
Hello. Yes, I'm there, Shaka.
Yeah, how are you?
Fine, sir. I thank you for the great job you are doing over there, sir.
Profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled for your compliments, sir. What is
now,
your question?
My question, sir. My question has to do with quarantine.
Mm-hmm.
Now, those that are believed to have been patients of Ebola are put under quarantine in Nigeria and indeed in Liberia. Complain that most of the time, if the patient have noticed that have been contracted the disease, they bury them alive. Now, a case study is in Nigeria when they noticed Ebola in Lagos. A nurse that attended to the patient was believed to have run from Lagos to Enugu, about 700 kilometers distance, just to disseminate it there. Now, what are you saying that, what can you tell me that a patient that has been contracted with disease are not buried alive until when they die? Thank you very much. It's Buba Umar Yaza from Kaduna, Nigeria.
Thank you, Buba. Doctor, maybe that is something that you can deal with, eh?
If I understand the question, there are some rumors stating that some people are being buried alive.
Right.
Yeah.
Before they die.
So,
did that happen?
Actually, we are dealing with two diseases. We are dealing with the Ebola, the virus that can be contained very, very easily, as shown in the past. But we are dealing with a second disease, fear Ebola.
Fear.
Fear Ebola, hysteria. That is more difficult to deal with because people are going to fabricate rumors, and then these rumors are going to make our fight more difficult. I will be very, very surprised to see doctors or nurses, health professionals in general, burying somebody alive just to get rid of that person. To me, I cannot believe that.
How do you deal with this issue of fear, really? I mean, I remember during the Second World War, FDR, the great President Roosevelt said, all we fear is fear itself.
Yes.
He was able to mobilize his people and the Western world to defeat Hitler. What can you say, really, you guys in the business, to tell people, wait a minute, this is something that can be contained? I was reading about passengers who are suffering. There is an American Sierra Leonean passenger who came in through Chicago, and of course she was taken in, quarantined, and all kind of stuff. Her luggage is still in Brussels. The reason being that people in Brussels, Belgians, don't want to touch the luggage that is coming from one of these three West African countries.
This is not based on science. This is not based on science because Ebola is a disease that you cannot catch easily. We have just had the proof of what happened to our brother who died in
Texas. In Dallas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Our brother was in contact with members of his family.
His fiancée.
How many? How many people? None of them got the disease because Ebola is not a disease that you catch like flu. To catch Ebola, you need close contacts. The type of contacts that you have with health professionals. This is why health professionals are those people who are getting the disease, because you need that closeness with the patient. So our brother in Dallas was able to contaminate two nurses and none of a member of his family. What does that tell us? It's not by sitting in a plane with somebody who is infected but not yet contagious with Ebola that you are going to get it. And the virus doesn't sit on a piece of luggage for more than let's say a few hours. So really, what we are seeing is hysteria. It's not science, but it's just hysteria, fear, and that is making our fight against Ebola far more difficult. So if we base our fight on facts, science, you are going to become more relaxed.
What do you suggest that the media should be doing now, really? Because the family of the gentleman that you are talking who died in Dallas, up to now, the last time I checked, can't get any landlord to rent them an apartment or a house, despite their being free of Ebola.
You know, we have in our body, we have a rational brain. This is what we are supposed to use when you are doing mathematics or you are doing... But we have, unfortunately, we have also what you call the emotional brain. And that, unfortunately, commands us.
I hear you. Then, let's go to Liberia. Good evening, Patrick. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Good evening, Shekhar, and good evening, honorable ambassador, and good evening, our studio guys.
Usually terrific. You have 30 seconds, Patrick, because time is not our best ally.
Well, I just want to tell you, Almighty God, thank you for it. I have a life experience at the EDU, at the JSK Medical Hospital in Monrovia. And I, by the grace of God, and I survived to medications and diet responsive and other things. And God survived. And I'm alive today speaking to you, Shaka, by the grace of God.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Now, who discovered Ebola? Was it Peter Piot, the Belgian scientist, or was it a team including you?
No, Peter Piot received samples that were sent to him from Yambuku. So he's the man who first made a picture of the virus, and then he sent part of some samples to Liverpool and CDC. 1976, and then they confirmed that was a new virus, very similar to the Marburg virus. So, and then time came when we had to name that virus. First, we wanted to name him after the mission, the Catholic mission, but then the nuns and the missionaries said, no, we don't want your virus to be associated, mission to be associated with a deadly virus. So one day when we were outing on the river Ebola, we said, why don't you name that virus, new virus, after the
river?
The river. So that was the... Peter Piot is the person who first saw.
But that makes you, frankly, if you're associated with that river and the naming of it, a co-discoverer. Well, on that note, thanks to our distinguished guests, Jeremiah Sulente, the Liberian ambassador to the United States, and Dr. Malonga Miatudla, former World Bank senior public health specialist and co-discoverer of the Ebola virus. Thanks to our affiliate stations, along with our viewers and listeners, we thank you for tuning in. For many of our Voice of America radio affiliates, Learning English is coming up next. And tomorrow morning's Daybreak Africa with James Bate. On behalf of the Voice of America, thanks for tuning into Straight Talk Africa. In the meantime, get better, not bitter, and please remember to keep the African hopes alive. Thank you, sir.